Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you holding on? Woo! Are you holding on to his unchanging hand? Woo! Hallelujah. He don't ever change. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord, sir. Oh my. We're going to have a good time tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His hand doesn't change. He never changes. He's the only thing constant. Hallelujah. 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 Y'all may be seated. Oh, I am so humbled is the best word that I could think of today. I'm just so humbled to be a part of this thing, this work of God. I feel like this church is just, God has just got his hand on this church. And Pastor is leading us to places I don't think Calvary Gospel Church has ever been before. And I'm so excited to be a part of it. Amen. It's humbling. It's humbling to know that this whole church, we're a part of something so great. God Almighty is moving in our lives and moving in this city, using Calvary Gospel Church to reach the lost in this city. You know, Jesus, he told us to go out and to reach the lost. Well, this is so special here, church, because, man, Jesus just, he blew the doors open on the jails, and he brought the lost to us, amen? I mean, what a great responsibility. I'm just, like I said, I'm so humbled. This is awesome. And I just want to give honor where honor's due, as always. Mama's here tonight. Mrs. Ring, I love you, Mom. So glad you're here. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's a woman of patience right there, boy. You just don't know. Hallelujah. I want to thank all of my instructors, all of my drivers, all of my teachers, everybody that is involved in the background, behind the scenes, working to make the CIP happen. This is so special. I want to thank you, CIP students, for wanting to make a change, do something different with your lives. You've been given this time. I've been there, I know. You've been given this time, and you decided, you know what, I'm not just going to do like the rest of the clowns, but I'm gonna make something. I'm going to do something with this time. I recognize that God gave me a time out, and I'm going to use it. Amen? I'm proud of you guys. Seriously, this is awesome. We have such good classes. We have such good talks. I mean, we just get down and dirty, and we just talk about it. We talk about it. It's just awesome. It's awesome. For those of you that are wondering what goes on, just come and get involved. Just come and check it out. I'll let you know, come and sit in on a few classes. You want to see what's happening? Come and check it out. You know, I mean, it's just awesome. But like I said, you know, I want to thank the prayer warriors, the givers, everybody in the background. And definitely you guys. We wouldn't have this without all you guys. I believe the Holy Ghost is going to move tonight. Amen. I took the cover off the baptismal before church, because I believe we're going to use it tonight. Amen. I'm doing it in faith. Hallelujah. I'm going to do it every service, because I believe God is doing something. We're going to keep that thing busy back there, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's get down to it. We're here to honor the graduates. I'd like them to come up and speak their piece. We have two awesome men tonight. Brother Charles, a.k.a. Champ, come on up. There you go, brother. I'll give you the mic in a minute. Champ is a man of integrity. He's a man of honesty. He's a man of truth. Every class, he has something to say that moves me. That moves me. This isn't just about us helping other people. This man, when he speaks, it moves me. I go home and I think about the things that you say after class. And I pray for you and your family out of Milwaukee. I'm excited to see what God's going to do with Brother Champ. Amen? Kevin Molling, come on up, brother. He's wearing John Deere green tonight. Representing. We're excited. We're excited for Kevin. Kevin came. He's a member of church here, and he just wanted to get involved. He wanted to see what this was all about, and he always has positive things to say and something positive to add to the conversation. And he doesn't sugarcoat nothing. He just straight up tells it, and that's the way it should be. If we're going to get down and dirty and we're going to get to the bottom of the problem, the root problem at hand, we need to get down and dirty. Just put it all on the wood if it's good. You know what I mean? Just set it down there. Set it out there. So, come on now. So, I want to give you brothers a few minutes here to go ahead and say something.
Good evening. A little nervous, but I'm going to try to get this out. I'm going to go back to when I first got here. My first Sunday here was the last Sunday in September. That was my first Sunday. I came in and went to orientation. We were told about the rules and what we can do and what we could not do. We was also told that when we come inside the church to not to sit with each other, all the guys from the CIP program, which came from where I came from the jail. I guess you kind of all know where we're from. They said kind of just spread out amongst the people and find your seat. So I found a certain seat I kind of liked. So I said, I'm going to sit here this Sunday and just kind of see what happened. And I've been kind of sitting in that same seat since I've been here. I just kind of liked where I was sitting around the people that I was sitting around. So I said to myself, okay, this is all right. I was a little nervous that first Sunday. Didn't get much out of the service, too busy looking around, nervous, wondering what the people were thinking of me sitting by them, you know, wondering who this guy was. But as time went on, it got better. So I said to myself, I'm kind of enjoying this. But when I was in orientation, they said, well, this is a 20-week program. The first week don't count, so it's 21 weeks. So when I got back, I said, well, I'll check my calendar to kind of see where I'm at here, would I be able to finish this program. Lo and behold, I had 25 weeks left. So today is my 25th week, and I'm still here. So as time went on, I kind of got to know some people. The first individual that really kind of spoke to me was Brother Derek. So he kind of spoke to me, told me who he was and what was going on. And I said, okay, that was the first person to speak to me. And after I was kind of sitting there, someone spoke in tongues. I mean, I've heard it before. The little small church that I go to in Milwaukee, maybe like one or two people speak in tongues. I heard somebody speaking in tongues. Then I heard somebody else. Then I heard somebody else. I said, ooh, this church is filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody's speaking in tongues. I kind of like this here. So it kind of got good to me. So I said, okay, I'll be glad when it's time to go back here. Maybe it'll hit me one day. But I just kept coming. I just kept coming. Things got a little better. The next individual I met was Brother Ben. Brother Ben and I, we've become real close. He's come looking for me on Sunday just to shake my hand. I really like that. I said, there's some good people up in here. This is just what I need. So things got better there. Then after a while, he introduced me to his wife. He introduced me to his daughter. I said, well, this is a good man here. He introduced me to his whole family. I think we're going to get along. And ever since then, we get along. So just being here, I looked around. I've seen all the young people here. I said, this is a church full of young people. This is what we need because, you know, us older people, you know, we ain't going to be around too long. We got to have somebody to take over when we leave. So we got all these young people here. And the thing I like about it, they're involved in the church. I said, oh, man, that's a good thing. Young people in the church singing. Young man's preaching. I said, oh, man, this is what's happening. Young people doing their thing. And all I want to say to you young people, keep coming. Because I'd rather see you in here and see you out there in the world in them streets where I used to be. So just keep coming. So as time went on, the next thing I think I witnessed was Thanksgiving came around. And Brother Ben came to me and said, well, I asked them people at the place, can I come get you and bring you to my house for dinner? I said, well, I'm sure they're going to ask, but I know what they're going to say. So that next Sunday came, I said, no, Ben. They said no. They just told me good try. You tell Brother Ben you have to come to dinner once you get out. But I didn't get to have dinner with him. But that next week, we had dinner at the church, so I did get my Thanksgiving dinner. The next thing I witnessed was the Christmas program with the kids. I said, oh, these kids can sing. They got up here and did their thing. I said, wow, the young people are doing their thing up in the church. The next thing I witnessed was something really blew me away, was a deaf ministry. I said, I can't understand sign language. How am I going to understand this here? So they gave the mic to Sister Renee, and the brother was up here doing this thing with his hands, and she was interpreting what he was saying. I said, oh, Lord, have mercy. This is what's really happening here. The man here sitting here doing his thing with his hands. I can't understand none of it, but the sister's here telling me everything that he's saying. Oh, that just blew me in. I think about that on a daily basis. That was one thing that just really kind of stood out to me. So the next thing that kind of happened to me that made me feel good, I think, was the fasting. We did a fasting up in here. You know, I've never fasted before. I fasted before, but it was all for the wrong reason. When I was out in the world using, drinking, or just didn't have nothing to eat. And so then I felt like I was a member of this church. And so when they was passing the slips out, they told me which one that you want to do. So I looked at it. I said, which one of these I think I'm going to be able to do? So I think I picked number one. And so I really didn't know nothing about fasting. So I called my sister. I told her they're doing this thing at the church, something called a Daniel fast. I want to be a part of it because I really feel like I'm a part of this church. I want to be a part of that. So what should I do? So she told me, she said, well, go to the book of Daniel and read a little bit about Daniel. How Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians captured Daniel and his three friends. So I said, okay. And then she went to tell me that they went to the people and said they really didn't want to eat me. So she said, then she went to telling me what I could eat and what I couldn't eat. I said, wow, I got to give up cheeseburgers, the Polish, the honey buns, this, that, and the other. I said, well, I'm going to try this because the food at the place where I'm at, it really wasn't that good. The hamburgers really wasn't that good. The pork chops, they call pork chops, really wasn't that good. So I said, well, I'll be able to pass this off. So she was telling me I could eat grain, I could eat toast, I could eat cereal, oats, things from the ground. So I went to this one brother one day, we was having cheeseburgers. I said, well, I'll give you this cheeseburger, you just give me the vegetables. He looked at me, you going to give me a cheeseburger for some vegetables? I said, yeah, you just take this cheeseburger and give me the vegetables. So as time went on, everybody kind of found out what I was doing. So everybody wanted my cheeseburger, they wanted my Polish, they wanted all my meat for their vegetables and so on. But that first week when I was doing this, I got a slight headache. I didn't understand that one. But when I came to church that Sunday, pastor got up and said he had a headache. But he said we would get used to it, so don't worry about it. It will pass. But after that first week, the headaches went away. I got used to just eating what I was supposed to eat. Second week got a little better. And after that, it was all down here. I made it through. But where I messed up at when it was all over, he said, step back into it real slow. I stepped into it real hard. I went back, really went to eating. But it was all good. It was all good. It was really all good. But I just want to say to this church, I really appreciate you. You've been so good to me. The people have been so good to me. I love you all. I'm from Milwaukee. I go to a little church in Milwaukee called the Bethesda Baptist Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The address is 2909 North 20th Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where Dr. Robert L. Sims is my pastor. So if you're ever in Milwaukee, you want to come to a good Baptist church, you can meet me at 2909 North 20th Street. But I just want to say thank you, Pastor Roy. Bishop, I never really got a chance to meet you. Minister Phil, Minister Shane, I remember you from last week because your message, I really appreciate that. I need to say this also. Pastor Roy, you preached a message January 24th. I'll never forget, it was on a Sunday. You was talking about having a little faith as a mustard seed. If you say to this mountain, move. But then you went on to say, take that word mountain out and put something that applies to your own life in there. So when I got back to the fair, and I was sitting on the bed, I said, wait a minute. He said, take the word mountain. I said, well, I got some issues in my life. I can take the word out of my mountain and put my own issues in it. So if I say to this, move. If I say to that, move. If I say to that, move, I'll be all right. So what I do now, I continue to pray that these things that I have troubles with, I'll put that in the place of the mountain and have faith as a mustard seed, and it shall be moved. Thank you.
Well, I'm not going to be long-winded like my older brother there. Give him the mic and he's uncontrollable. I just wanted to thank the church for supporting the CFP program. Got a lot out of it. Got a greater hope that I too can be redeemed from alcoholism and being a thief. But the by the grace of God, I've never been to jail. That I'm sure I deserved it quite a few times. And I'll keep it short and sweet. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stay standing. You would stay standing. Pastor's going to pray for the graduates. Let's all bind together.
Lord, we want to thank you for this day. We want to thank you for this opportunity. I thank you, Lord, for the lives that you are changing here yet this night. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon our graduates, upon these two men. I pray, God, that your spirit would flow through them. And Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, God, that your hand would be upon them. Lord, when they come in, when they go out, wherever they go in life, God, I pray, God, that your hand would be upon them. Lord, they have made a commitment here, a commitment to serve you. And I ask you, Lord, that you would be with them. I know you're going to be with them because, Lord, you are God and you are so awesome. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you have done. I pray, Lord, you would continue to move, to guide, and to direct. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Give them a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Champ. There's a preaching spirit on this thing. We're going to have you come back and preach, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let's get down to business, church. Acts chapter 1 and 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. Who's got the Holy Ghost? Woo! You should be excited about it. All right. Sit down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, full steam ahead. All right? Some of you might not know, some of you know. I'm a service steam fitter. I work with an awesome group of guys, work at H&H Industries. We get the privilege to run around this great city, working on some of the most sophisticated and unsophisticated equipment there is around. We get to go up into the very highest places of this city. I've been, if you like, you're on top of the world on some of these buildings. I've been in some of the highest buildings, up on the roof, working on junk. And I've been down in the lowest parts of the city, working on stuff. It's really neat. It's neat, the things that we get to see, the things that we get to do. And I just kind of wanted to share some of this with you tonight. It's just a really neat job. Work with a really neat group of guys. We just had a new hire come on, Calvin Wells. He joined the service team. Praise the Lord. We're excited for him. Hallelujah. One more spirit-filled apostolic coming into the workplace. Amen. There's power in that. Hallelujah. So everybody here knows about the downtown campus. If you're from Wisconsin, you know about downtown campus, UW. The college students, you guys know about the UW, amen? All right, you know about all the buildings. Is it warm in those buildings when you go in there? Because generally the heat's on and things are working and stuff. Sometimes they're not working. It's when we get called, but there's a powerhouse down on Charter Street. You guys know what I'm talking about? There's usually a big cloud of steam that comes out of the top of it. It's kind of down off of there, off of University Avenue. If you're heading out of town, you take a left, and that's the Charter Street Powerhouse. And some of us older people would remember, seeing big mountains of coal out there, because the steam boilers used to run on coal, the turbines and stuff like that. They were coal, and now it's we did a big remodel out there, and everything runs on natural gas now, huge natural gas. But there's these humongous Cleaver Brooks steamers in there, big, huge steam boilers. I mean, just humongous. I know one of them is at least the size of this room and a couple stories tall. And this thing is generating really high pressure steam. And underground, there's these steam tunnels. If you don't know it, when you go down University Avenue, some of us have been in there. Scotty, I know he's been down there. There's literally a city underneath the ground of steam tunnels all over the place. And so from the powerhouse, big steam is generated, and it's piped all over down in the university to the schools and the buildings and the libraries and all of this stuff. And it's used, some of it's used for processing, some of it's used for heat, some of it is converted. It's steamed to hot water and used for hydronic heating the buildings and things like this. But there's literally a city underneath this city of pipes and all kinds of stuff. There's even a guy that lives down there. Tunnel Bob. He lives down there. He's homeless, and it's warm down there, and they just let him live down there, and Tunnel Bob is down there. Pray for Bob. He lives down there, all right? We need to get Bob a better home. There's rats down there, and it's different. It's a different deal, ain't it, Scotty? So we got all these pipes and all this stuff going on down there. These boilers have to be big enough to generate enough heat to make steam for the buildings. I'm not talking to steam fitters or my wife. I'm talking to everybody else. Does anybody know how hot you have to get water in order to make steam? Huh? 212 degrees. You got to heat water up to 212 degrees in order to make steam. That's pretty hot. 212 degrees is hot. You'll burn your hand. And in this case, when you have it in these pipes, you got to get even hotter. It's got to be superheated steam. These things are firing. It's really, really, really hot. So we need hot fire. We need big hot fire in order to make productive steam. Noah, what are you talking about? Bear with me, guys. Bear with me here, all right? We're going somewhere with this. I promise. When water changes state from a liquid to a gas, it expands 1,700 times. When water changes from a liquid to a gas, it expands 1,700 times. You get it? That's huge. I'm a steam fitter, and that just still makes my jaw drop. That's huge. It's super powerful. This is why steam is so powerful. The heat created by steam can go much further because of this great expansion. There's more heat content. There's more BTUs in superheated steam than just regular hot water, and that's why we use it. It's very powerful. We can do a lot more with it, with the steam, than just regular hot water. And, you know, America's been using steam for heat for the last 166 years. How long have steam engines been around? 200 years? Just a little less than 200 years. Roy's a train guru. Appreciate that about him. You look at the power of steam. You look at a locomotive back in the early 1900s with, boxcars, a mile of boxcars behind it, and there's just this little bitty steam engine on there, ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. He's making steam, and he's pulling gazillions of pounds of this stuff. Steam is powerful stuff. All right, you follow me? And they've been using this to carry cargo across America for years and years and years. Amen? If you get a chance and you're really interested, go to a steam show. There's a Badger Steam and Gas show up in Baraboo. There's steam shows. Check it out. Talk to me if you want to go to a steam show. I'll take you to a steam show, and we'll talk about steam and oil and gas and burning, and it stinks, and it's awesome. So, all of that. Where does God play in on all of this? Well, God is the power source. He's where life comes from, right? Where do we get that fire from? We get that fire down inside of us from God. You know, with God, I've come to expect multiplication in my life. All right? You get it? Multiplication, 1,700 times, the expansion. All right? I come to expect multiplication. Just like water expands when it is heated and turned into steam, God will expand your life if you want it. Only if you want it. If you allow him. Let me tell you a little bit about me. Hallelujah. I went from a prison cell having a life. I went from a prison cell to having a life I never could have thought possible. Went from being an alcoholic, addicted to drugs, not knowing where I'm going, not really having no purpose or direction in my life. Just going from here to there, doing my thing, getting in trouble. Been to jail 100 times, been to prison twice, all that stuff. Just a wanderer, just moving around, letting the devil just kick me around. But not no more, amen? I got the Holy Ghost and God multiplied my life, amen? Just like steam, God multiplied my life. He said he knew we'd give to some of them 100-fold, right? Hallelujah. I love this ministry. This is where I belong. God trained me up for this. I truly believe that now. I love my wife. She's so beautiful. I could have never thought. Here I am, a scrub, getting out of prison. Got no license, got no car, living with mama down in the basement. But I'm coming to church. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm believing that God is greater. I asked Pastor Thomas, can I check out your daughter? He said, if God can forgive me, I can forgive you. Amen? But I got a 2x4 in my garage with your name on it, so stay focused, boy. All right? Amen. God has always been a God of multiplications. Sometimes it's addition, right? Sometimes it's subtraction, right? Sometimes it's division. But the last three are always for our own good. When it's just addition, sometimes when it's subtraction, he takes stuff away that he knows that we don't need in our lives, that we can't on our own power give up, right? Amen? Hallelujah? All right? Praise God. But when you are on the right side of the cross, expect multiplication in your life. We serve a God of multiplication. A few examples in the Word are, let's ask the guy in Acts chapter 3 at the gate. The guy who was crippled, begging for alms. You guys know who I'm talking about? Peter and John came up to him. They seen him. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. What happened? God multiplied his life that day, right? Unbelievable. The guy never walked until that day. How old was he, Pastor? Like 40 or something. That'll work. God healed him at the hands of two men that were willing to be used of God. You know, and I was thinking about this today and praying about this today and looking at this a little bit today. And let's apply this to our own lives. This doesn't have to be a physical crippling in your life. Amen? We can apply this to our life. What if you're emotionally paralyzed? You're emotionally hurt. It's not always physical. Sometimes it's emotionally. Sometimes something deep down inside is broken. And yeah, you can walk, but man, you're just busted. You know? We can apply that. Pages are stuck together here. Here's three. Let's ask blind Bartimaeus. His life was multiplied when Jesus told him, go your way, your faith hath made you whole. Bartimaeus acted on his faith. If you want this, you got to have a little faith. You got to put your faith into action. God said in his word that he gives everyone a measure of faith, right? It don't matter if you got the Holy Ghost or not. God said he gave everybody a measure of faith. It's magnified when you get the Holy Ghost. You're baptized in Jesus' name and you're born again. Oh, Peter. What about Peter? Just a lowly fisherman. Peter, I feel like Peter was probably pretty easily persuaded to just kind of do whatever, but he was a fisherman. But Peter's life was multiplied when he met Jesus. And before you know it, he's not fishing, but he's walking on the water that he fishes in. Amen? I mean, he messed up. He took his eyes off of Jesus and sank. But nonetheless, Peter can still say he walked on water. Jesus told him to get out of the boat, and Peter walked on water. I never walked on water. Have you? Amen? Hallelujah. How about the Apostle Paul? His life was turned upside down. You guys know what the Apostle Paul was doing before he started, was being used to write some of the word? I mean, he was persecuting Christians. I mean, he was mean to us folks, to us holy rollers, if you will. I mean, he was mean to us. We probably wouldn't have gotten along so well. You know what I mean? But God turned his life upside down, you know. He took the scales off of his eyes and used him to win so many, and he still is. You know, this guy, he wrote a big portion of the New Testament in the Holy Bible. Wow. Let's ask our buddy Lazarus. I can't wait to see this guy. Lazarus. This guy was dead for 4 days. I mean, he was dead. Stinking. The Bible says he stinketh. This dude was dead. Jesus showed up and multiplied his life. I mean, how do you go from dead to alive? I mean, that's multiplication. Amen. You know, you're dead. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Has anybody ever felt like you had a season in your life where you're just, you know, you're not dead, but you know, you're just, you're there, but you're not there. You don't really know your identity. You're having a hard time figuring out who you are. You know, the first lesson in the CIP, lesson number one, is who am I? We talk about who am I. And I love that lesson because I know who I am in Jesus. And we had this lesson and you know, it's the first lesson. And a lot of folks are like, well, what do you mean? Who am I? It's a great opportunity to give a testimony and say, you know, this is who I am now. This is who I was. Noah Strand, DOC number 434971. Noah Strand, director of the CIP, helping folks out in the community. You know what I'm saying? Married to the most beautiful woman in the entire planet Earth and the best cook. Amen? And excited about it. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus comes by. He just comes by and says, you know, I've had that before. And Jesus, he come by and he'll say, Noah, come forth. And you have your own personal revival. Has anybody ever had that happen before? Amen? Or can relate to that? Mark Nikilski, where you at, brother? All right? God turned his life upside down, multiplied his life. This brother went from, he was a drug dealer, he was a drug user, just going from here to there with no real direction. Look at Mark Nikilski now. God is using him so mightily. God has given him a ministry, a beautiful family, a home, a career, and most of all, a purpose. God gives us a purpose. Amen? Amen? Come on now. Sister Janine, you doing the miss. All right? Does everybody know Sister Janine? Woo! God turned her life upside down, multiplied her life. She went from being addicted to drugs to the most beautiful woman of God she is right now. You guys know this sister. She taught CIP tonight for the first time. Amen. Give her a hand. Hallelujah. She's giving back. She gave her heart to God. God multiplied it. And now she's giving back. This is the way it works. She's giving back. I'm telling you what. You want some fried chicken and some black-eyed peas. Talk to Janine Calhoun. She made some fried chicken today and some black-eyed peas. Holler at her, man. She'll cook you something right up. Get you dialed right in, boy. Talking about food, Pastor. I'm learning from my pastor. You got to talk about food behind this pulpit. All right? One of my best friends in the entire world. Y'all just don't know. Carl. God took this man from being bound by drugs and alcohol and sin, depression, delivered him, and built him up to have the confidence to lead this youth over here, this beautiful wife. Next month, he's going to Africa. He's going to preach this gospel. Multiplication. Multiplication, church. You might not even be struggling with addictions or into crime or anything unlawful. It might be right now that you are bound by depression, anger, fear, jealousy, lost envy. You just don't have any joy in your life. You feel like you don't have a purpose or direction. Sister Vicki Leonardson, she had the Holy Ghost, and there was a time in her life that she was scared to even come out of her house. Sister, I know about anxiety. I used to have anxiety attacks, but I've been speaking to this stuff. It don't belong in me. I'm a child of the King. Anxiety, fear, doubt, unbelief crept in and bound her. But Jesus told her to speak to these strongholds in her life. And in an instant, just like that, she was delivered from these terrible things. Amen. Sister Vicki, hallelujah. She has a mighty testimony. Ladies, she will fellowship with you anytime and share her heart with you. Amazing, 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 amazing. Or men, we shared some of the same problems and we talked it out. And man, I mean, there was so much healing there. Multiplication, Sister Vicki. Not being able to even come out of the house to talk to anybody. And she's up here leading worship for years and years now. 8 years. 2016 minus 2008 is 8 years. Inside joke. We talked about it before service. These things don't belong in a person who belongs to the King of Kings. Amen. I serve a God of multiplication. And God is whispering in my ear, Noah, full steam ahead. Calvary Gospel Church, full steam ahead. The other night we had it was a while back. We had a Friday night prayer meeting and there was tongues and interpretations. Fast forward. God said, fast forward. God said, fast forward. Fast forward. Full steam ahead. Fast forward. We don't have time for anything else. I mean, I just feel it in my spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, I don't know about you, but God is changing me. I'm not the same person who I was last week. I feel, honestly, like God is taking this church, taking us into a new dimension, a deeper walk with Him. He wants to weed out those who aren't serious and have those that are serious, get them on board. Amen. God is doing a work in my life, and I just want more and more of Him. I want to be changed. I want to be multiplied. I want to be expanded just like water gets turned into steam. Amen. I love steam. It's neat. I want more and more for everybody in this place. I want to be used more. And you know what? I'm learning to take the focus off of my problems and help others. It is so much more rewarding than anything else that the world can offer. You really want to fix your problems? Stop focusing on them. Don't worry about them. Start helping other people. God's going to work it out. God's didn't he work it out? Didn't he? You know the song. Come on now. Oh my Jesus, my Jesus. Take the focus off yourself. Get it on somebody else. God's going to work it out. I'll say this again. I believe that sometimes you don't go through a trial for you. God knows you can handle it, but it ain't for you. It's so that you can effectively minister to the next person that's dealing with that. You are strong. God will take you through it so that now you can effectively minister to the person that's going through the same kind of a thing. And you can be there. Amen? I truly believe that. I truly, truly believe that. And then we can effectively show that person Jesus. You can go from just an ordinary person get the Holy Ghost and be multiplied instantly. Sierra. Scotland Sierra. Had an awesome report. If you guys haven't heard this week, Sierra had a co-worker that was interested in the light that Sierra has, that she allows to shine at work. We're just going to say it like that, Sierra. And she was interested in praying. And she met, was it in the parking lot? The first one? First one met in the parking lot. She was interested in Jesus. She was interested in praying. She was interested in the light that Sierra was allowing to shine through her. Amen? She laid hands on this woman. She got the Holy Ghost in the parking lot. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It spreads like wildfire. Her friend heard about it. The girl that just got the Holy Ghost heard about it. You understand what I'm saying? There's a person that heard about this girl that got the Holy Ghost and came and asked Sierra about that. A couple days later, right? Sierra, in the same parking lot, prayed her through. That's two people in a week at work, church. Boldness. She's got fire shut up in her bones. This little lad of mine. Amen? What you gonna do? I'm gonna let it shine. All right? Hallelujah. Where does this all start, church? Where does it start? Repentance. Come on now, repentance. I believe with this fast that we went on, it brought a cleansing. It brought me a cleansing. I'm so thankful that he hears from God and he speaks to us. And this cleansing brought me to a place of repentance that I've never been before and opened me up and just filled me with this fresh fire from God. I got to clean out the closet. I got to clean all this stuff out of my spirit that I'd been holding on to that ought not to be there. Amen? Repentance brings the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 1:18. And we sung about it tonight. Isaiah says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Amen? Then Peter said unto them in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Amen? Holy Ghost brings the fire and the power to overcome. Overcome what? When you pray, "God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil." That Holy Ghost will lead you. He gives you the power to overcome anything in your life that's keeping you down. Amen? Overcome that urge to be someone you are not. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Gives you the power to love someone who ordinarily might not be so lovable. Amen? Right? Power to walk away from the wrong things in the wrong situations, youth. Hallelujah. Amen, church? Hallelujah. Steam. Steam systems need maintenance. They need to be cleaned in order to run properly. Pipes get scaled up. Saints get scaled up. You ever been scaled up? I have. I get scaled up when I allow things into my life that I shouldn't be allowing in my life. Not necessarily bad things. You guys can turn on cable TV, not even cable TV, just the regular TV now, and look at shows like CSI and all of these things with these ulterior motives. It's all about murder and lust, and you know, there's a spirit of adultery in some of these things. There's all this crazy stuff that you allow yourself to see. That scales me up. I don't look at that stuff anymore after this fast and all of this. I'm being honest here, church. I cleaned out my closet. I said, "You know what, honey, we're not looking at any of this stuff anymore. We're not doing any of these things. I don't listen to worldly music. You know, but I had some music on my phone, you know, some old 80s rock stuff that didn't need to be there. I got rid of that. I'm just being honest here, guys. That stuff shouldn't be there. That scales you up and keeps you from being the person of God you're supposed to be, that God would have you to be. You understand what I'm saying? The devil has an agenda, and it's to break down the saints. Because he knows that if we stay sharp, we are a great threat to him. If we keep our pipes clean, our spiritual pipes, we get good hot steam. Jeremiah said, it's like fire shut up in my bones, if the praise singers would come back. It's like fire shut up in my bones. So the bottom line is, we need to watch what we say. We need to watch what we listen to. Music is very powerful. God created us to worship. We need to be careful of what we see. I'm telling you, there's all kinds of ulterior motives. Don't get scaled up. Don't get these, Brother Cohen, we were at a conference not too long ago, midwinter conference. I was talking with Brother Cohen. He said they call him spiritual barnacles. I love Brother Cohen. Spiritual barnacles, he says. We don't need barnacles on our ship. We don't need scale in our pipe. Amen. I want just full bore, straight up, Holy Ghost leading me with no other junk in my heart to get in the way. You know what I'm saying? How do I do that? I keep my eyes on the prize. Amen. Keep your eye on the prize. Careful. Just be careful. Be careful. Just got to be careful. Church, I believe God is looking to raise up an army. Do you believe it? Right now, more so than ever. 2 Corinthians 5:17, New Living Translation. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has become. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Give your heart to Jesus. Start a new life. Start over. I talked to the CIP. The number one most, and this isn't even just for the CIP. If you are struggling, check out who your friends are. Pastor says, you show me your friends, I'll show you your character. How important is that? If you want to make it, you need to, for me, I had to cut off the entire old world. I just had to cut it all off. I had to sever ties with the old me and anybody that was back there. Otherwise, I was going to trip up because I'd done it so many times in the past. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, going to jail and this, that, and the other. And every time I got out, I was fooling myself thinking, you know what, I'm going to be able to hang out with these guys, but I don't have to drink. Yeah, right. Who are you kidding? I can go to the bar and hang out with these guys and it'll be cool. Yeah, right. No. You have balcony friends and you have basement friends. Basement friends, they just want to keep you in the basement. Be not deceived. Misery loves company. Right? They aren't there when you're in jail. They aren't there. Mom's there. Mom's putting money on your books. Mom's coming to see you. But them basement friends that love you when you get out, they ain't there. They ain't there. I have more real, genuine, true friends in the family of God than a person could ever ask for. I love you all. Hallelujah. Just a little tidbit here. If you are in need of something from God, you know, you just got this thing in your craw. You just really need something from God. You're looking for a wife, a healing, a career, and it's all you can think about. You ain't gonna get it. You're not giving God your whole heart if that's your focus. See, what we need to do is just focus on Jesus. He said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Get your eyes on Jesus, not what you want from Jesus. Trust me, he already knows what you need. Matthew 6:8 says, Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. If y'all would stand, we're going to have altar call. And I encourage you, CIP, I love you guys. Let God multiply your life. Let Him take and just move the past away. Forget about the past. Deliver you from the past and let Him multiply your life so you can be the person of God you are supposed to be. You all have a call on your life. You all have a purpose in the kingdom of God. You all have a ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church someday. I want to see you guys teaching in my CIP. Better yet, I want to see one of you guys running the CIP. All right? Amen? I believe in you. We believe in you. We are a family. All right? If anybody wants to, come up here and give your heart to God. We want to pray with you. If anybody is struggling with something in your life and you're just trying to get it figured out, trying to get it worked out, come on up. I want to pray with you. I've had struggles. We talked about it. Depression, anxiety, fear, all of these things. Bring it to the altar. Lay it down. You don't want to smoke anymore and you got cigarettes in your pocket, lay them on the altar and leave them there. Don't pick them up. Set them right there on the altar. We're going to throw them away for you. We're going to help you out, church. Amen? I'm not talking to anybody. I'm talking to everybody. Lay your burdens down. Let God multiply you, saint of God. Take you from where you are.